Psalm 27 is one of the best known and most comforting psalms in the entire book of Psalms. It is a psalm of David. It is a psalm that speaks of gladness, of joy, of triumph, of assurance. And yet it is a psalm of prayer and petition. And I want to consider this psalm this morning under three main headings. From verses 1 to 6, we notice there that the psalmist expresses his confidence in the Lord. The psalmist expresses his confidence in the Lord. Now, I want to first of all consider with you the source of David's confidence. The source of David's confidence. We read there in verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" David declares the Lord to be his confidence by using three images. He uses the image of light, of salvation, and of stronghold. He says, "The Lord is my light." Light is often spoken of in Scripture for God. We read in 1 John chapter 1 and at verse 5, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." We read in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 4 and verse 6, that God, who commanded the light to shine in out of darkness, has shone into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. You see, if we're here today and we know and love the Lord, there came a day in our experience when we saw the light. When our eyes were opened. For you see, by nature, we are blind. Now, I was thinking about that a bit over this past week. And there are some times when you go into a room and you switch the light on. And it's quick, isn't it? But perhaps you have, like ourselves, you have a dimmer switch. And you turn the light on, and it comes on gradually to its full force. And there are those, like the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, they have an encounter with God that is sudden. And there's others, and they come to the light gradually, but they come to the light. And so in God's providence and by God's grace, there came a day when our eyes were open, we began to see things as we'd never seen them before. We saw our sin. We saw God as one who is holy and just and pure. And we can identify with the words of the hymn writer when he said, "I once was blind, but now I see." The Lord has come into our lives by his Holy Spirit and has brought about a change. And then David uses the image of salvation. He says, "The Lord is my salvation." Not only was he light, but he was David's salvation. You see, God was not only able to bring light and clarity, but also the power to do something about David's situation. Now, by definition, if someone is your salvation, they are saving you from something. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, in his commentary on the Psalms, penned the following words. He says salvation finds us in the dark, but does not leave us there. It gives light to those who sit in the valley of the shadow of death. Spurgeon goes on to say, after conversion, our God is our joy, comfort, guide, teacher. In every sense, our light. He is light within, light around, light reflected from us, and light revealed to us. Again, Spurgeon goes on to say, note, it is not said merely that the Lord gives light, but that he is light, nor that he gives salvation, but that he is salvation. He then who by faith has laid hold upon God has come into all the covenant blessings in his possession. And so this morning the psalmist speaks of the Lord as his light, as his salvation. But then he mentions the word stronghold. He is the stronghold of my life. Now that's where I want to put the emphasis this morning, that the Lord is the stronghold of our lives. It's not just for a season. No part of our life is excluded from his protective power. You see, the Lord is not partially strong for a portion of our lives. He's the stronghold of our lives. Now, you this morning may feel that you're going through a very trying and a very difficult time, and because of that trying and difficult time, you feel a weakness. And maybe you look back and you think to yourself, well, you know, back there I felt strong in the Lord. But that doesn't detract from the truth that the Lord is our stronghold today. And it's precisely why the psalmist can immediately ask the question, of whom shall I be afraid? You see, David refers to his adversaries and to his foes and to his enemies in this psalm. David had his enemies, the Philistines and others. And we have an enemy, the devil. You read over there in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. That our enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But you see, David was confident that the Lord was his light, that the Lord was his salvation, that the Lord was his strength. And really what he was saying was this: if God be for me, who can be against me? I wonder this morning, can you use the personal pronoun? Can you say with confidence that the Lord is my light? That the Lord is my salvation? That the Lord is my stronghold? Can you use that personal pronoun with conviction and with confidence? But not only do we notice in these first six verses the source of David's confidence, but we notice also how David's confidence in the Lord was strengthened. And we have it there in verse 4. David says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, or one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, what was this one thing David was asking of the Lord? Was he asking victory over his enemies? No. Was he asking for wealth or fame? No. No, we read that he desired to dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, what does it mean to dwell or to, dwell in the house of the Lord? You see, there were no bedrooms in the tabernacle. There was no place for living in the tabernacle. So what was David saying? He's really saying this, that he desired to be in the Lord's house on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday evening, and in the midweek meeting. You see, there is an evidence of grace. There is the evidence that the Lord is our light and our salvation, that he is our stronghold. It means that he desired to have fellowship with God throughout the week. What do I mean by that? Well, when we spend time reading God's word in our private devotions, when we spend time in prayer, we're meeting with the Lord. And then we need to ask the question, what was David doing in the house of the Lord? Well, we read there in verse 4. He says, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. What does it mean to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord? Well, it means to meditate upon his holiness. The word there, gaze, is the word to meditate. Meditate upon his holiness. Meditate upon his grace. Meditate upon the love of God. Meditate upon the attributes of God. And to inquire in his temple. It really refers to the reading of God's word, to praying, to listening to the preaching of God's word. Can I ask you? Is that the desire of your heart? Is that the one desire above every other desire that you have? To dwell in the house of the Lord. To be here on a Sunday morning. To be here on a Sunday evening. To meet with the Lord's people in the midweek meeting, the home groups. And also to spend time alone with God in our own homes, meditating upon the beauty of the Lord. And so we've noticed the psalmist expresses his confidence in the Lord. But notice secondly from verses 7 through to 12 that the psalmist prays earnestly for God's help. The psalmist prays earnestly for God's help. It is here in verses 7 through to 12 that we find the mood changes from confidence to earnest prayer. In this section of the psalm, most people's attention is directed to that verse 10, where we read, for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Now, what do we seek from a parent? What does a child seek from a parent? Well, they seek to receive. We look to a parent to listen to us. A child would look to a parent to listen to them. We look to a parent to guide us, to protect us. And that's what David is seeking from the Lord in these verses. He's seeking that the Lord would listen to him, that the Lord would guide him, that the Lord would protect him. Notice there that in verse 7, David says, "Hear me, O Lord, when I cry." He says in verse 8, "You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." The Lord's wanting David to be in fellowship with him. "Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger." In other words, he's saying, "Lord, don't turn your head away from me." You know how it is when we're speaking to somebody and something we say meets with their disapproval. What do? They turn their head away. And he's saying to the Lord, "Lord, don't do that to me. Listen to me. Listen to me." Turn not your servant away in anger. He's aware that he's a sinner. He's aware that he has sinned. He's acknowledging that the Lord has been his help. "Cast me not off, O God of my salvation." But here in verse 10, he says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." It's a very precious verse, isn't it? The Lord will be a father to the fatherless. It's really speaking of being rejected, rejected by friends, rejected by family. But the Lord will never reject us. He will never forsake us. You see, sometimes when a person is converted, when they come to the light of the gospel, their parents will reject them. But it's then when the Lord will take them up. It is then when the Lord will guide them, will provide for them, will care for them. I was again meditating and studying upon this text. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon had this to say. He said, "Some of the greatest saints have been cast out by their families." And if you're here this morning and you feel that you've been cast out, if you're here this morning and you feel that you've been rejected, take comfort. Take encouragement from this psalm to know that even some of the greatest saints are among those that have been rejected. Yes, David's praying that the Lord would hear him, that the Lord would guide him, that the Lord would protect him, that he would not deliver him over unto the will of his enemies. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? That whilst we have confidence in the Lord, yet we are continually brought to that place where we are aware of our need of the Lord. Didn't Paul say there in Philippians 4 and 6, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." And then finally, we notice from this psalm in verses 13 and 14 that the psalmist makes his great confession and encourages others to wait upon the Lord. There in verse 13 he says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Does David have acceptance? Does he have answers? Does he have guidance and protection that he needs from God? Yes. Because the psalm ends on this note, returning to a quiet confidence with which he began. Let me read that verse 13 again. He says, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, when David's speaking about the land of the living, he's not speaking about the life hereafter, but he's speaking about the here and now. He'll experience of the goodness of God. It's a bit like what the psalmist is saying there in Psalm 23, where he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And the emphasis is on all the days of my life. You've experienced God's goodness yesterday. You'll experience God's goodness today. And you'll experience God's goodness tomorrow. It's all the days, in the good days, in the bad days, in the bright days, in the cloudy days, in those days when things are going well, in those days of frustration, we experience of the goodness of God. You see, the things that David has been praying for and for which we pray do not always come to us at once. Why? Because God has his timings, which are not our timings. And therefore we pray for a need sometimes just to wait upon the Lord. I wonder, today, are you somebody who is despairing of having answers? Are you somebody who has lost confidence? Did David lose confidence? No. You see, we need to wait upon the Lord. Look what verse 14 says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. The psalmist teaches us to wait in faith, to wait expectantly. You see, we live in a world where there's instant credit, instant food, and everybody wants to be in the fast lane of life, and everybody wants something yesterday. Isn't that true? When you phone the joiner, you phone the motor mechanic. He says, when would you like the job done? And the answer is usually, yesterday, please. But we've got to wait. And really what the psalmist is saying here is a double wait. He says, wait, wait. Those of us who had children, I'm sure when we were children, it was exactly the same with our parents. You wanted something and they would say, wait, wait. We have it, the truth brought out there in Psalm 40 and verse 1, where the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord. What is he saying? He's saying, in waiting, I waited. In waiting, I waited. In other words, there are precious, precious lessons to be learned in waiting. And so whatever the trial, wait in the Lord. Don't let yourself be discouraged. Wait in the Lord and discover afresh that He is your light, that He is your salvation, that He is your stronghold. You see, He's the stronghold of our lives. Just in closing, I want to briefly go back to that verse 10, because that's a precious verse. For the psalmist says, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, the Lord will take me in." When he says, "The Lord will take me in," he's saying that the Lord will provide for every detail of my life. Not only will he provide and care for every detail of my life, but he's in control of every detail of my life. And it's a wonderful thing, friends, when we can, in reality, testify to that. I don't have time this morning to testify how that's happened in my own experience. But it's a wonderful thing just to rest in the confidence that whilst we feel that the answer to our prayers is not coming as quickly as we would like, that the Lord is working His purposes out, and He is providing for us, and He is caring for us, and He is in control of every detail of our lives. May the Lord help us to meditate upon the truths of this wonderful psalm, for His name's sake. Amen.